We're going to continue tonight in our study of the book of Revelation. We're going to cover, Lord willing, chapter 16 tonight. And I want to read the entire chapter. It's a little longer than I usually do, but I don't want to leave anything out. And I know that the Word of God has much more to say than I do. Okay? And so if it's between me and the Word of God, let's pick the Word. Okay? And tonight we're going to read this entire chapter and begin in verse 1. Would you stand with me as we read from God's Word? Verse 16. Then I heard a loud voice from the temple saying to the seven angels, "Go and pour out the bowls of the wrath of God on the earth." So the first went and poured out his bowl upon the earth, and a foul and loathsome sore came upon men who had the mark of the beast and those who had worshipped his image. Then the second angel poured out his bowl on the sea, and it became blood as of a dead man, and every living creature in the sea died. Then the third angel poured out his bowl on the rivers and the springs of water, and they became blood. And I heard the angel of the waters saying, "You are righteous, O Lord, the one who is and who was and who is to be, because you have judged these things. For they have shed the blood of saints and prophets, and you have given them blood to drink, for it is their just due." And I heard another from the altar saying, "Even so, Lord God Almighty, true and righteous are your judgments." Then the fourth angel poured out his bowl on the sun, and power was given to him to scorch men with fire, and men were scorched with great heat, and they blasphemed the name of God who has power over these plagues. And they did not repent and give him glory. Then the fifth angel poured out his bowl on the throne of the beast, and his kingdom became full of darkness, and they gnawed their tongues because of the pain. They blasphemed the God of heaven because of their pains and their sores, and did not repent of their deeds. Then the sixth angel poured out his bowl on the great river Euphrates, and its waters was dried up, so that the way of the kings of the east might be prepared. And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs coming out of the mouth of the dragon, out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet, for they are the spirits of demons, performing signs which go out to the kings of the earth and of the whole world to gather them to the battle of that great day of God Almighty. Behold, I am coming as a thief. Blessed is he who watches and keeps his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. And they gathered them together in the place called in Hebrew Armageddon. Then the seventh angel poured out his bowl into the air, and the loud voice came out of the temple of heaven from the throne saying, "It is done." And there was noises and thunderings and lightnings, and there was a great earthquake, such a mighty and great earthquake as has not occurred since men were on the earth. Now the great city was divided into three parts, and the cities of the nations fell. And great Babylon was remembered before God to give her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath. Then every island fled away, and the mountains were not found, and great hail from heaven fell upon men, each hailstone about the weight of a talent. Men blasphemed God because of the plague of the hail, since the plague was exceeding great. Again, let's look to the Lord in prayer. Brother Ken Storm, would you lead our hearts in prayer, please? Amen. You may be seated. I said this morning, and I repeat it tonight as we make this study, sometimes it's hard to have a positive outlook, okay? But I want to, in the beginning, remind you, if you are a child of God, we can and should have a positive outlook, okay? Because for the children of God, it's going to be all right. As a matter of fact, for children of God that's living in this age, I believe that in the beginning of the tribulation period, we're going to experience the rapture where we're called to heaven to be with the Lord, and we're going to have a heavenly view of this tribulation period. But there, we have come to a time of disaster for those who have rejected God and are living upon this earth. And imagine, if you would, a world where there's absolutely no good news, no hope. Imagine, if you will, hospitals that are filled with patients that doctors come in and say, there's nothing I can do. A world where children are plagued, and parents, you know, we as parents, sometimes in dealing with my children, I just have to tell them, well, you know, it'll be okay. But parents can't tell their kids that at this point. Not those who have accepted the mark of the beast anyway. It's just a terribly grim time for those that don't know Jesus Christ as their Savior. And if you're in that position tonight, I want you to know that I do my best to preach and teach this out of a heart of love and caring, okay? Not a heart of condemnation, but if you're not a child of God, you need to know what's coming. And here is, we've come to the end of the tribulation period. This morning we talked about heaven and the rejoicing of the saints of the tribulation period that are in heaven. And now our attention goes back to looking on earth. And there are seven judgments that are poured out upon this earth. And I want you to know these judgments are in rapid succession. Okay? One doesn't end and there's a break and a recovery and then another one hits. It is like a machine gun. It's bang, 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 bang. As a matter of fact, they don't get over the sores, you know, before the next thing comes and the next thing and the next thing. It's just one right after another, one woe, one tragedy after another. And this is different from what we've studied before also, in that before, if you'll remember earlier in the trumpet judgments, one third of the earth was affected. One third of the oceans were turned to blood, and one third of the land and grass was burned and plagued, and a third of the fresh water was turned to blood. But here it's worldwide. So as we look, we see plagues, and it's not just something that's going to happen in Israel or in Egypt. It's something that's going to happen all over the world. And the first words we hear in this chapter, chapter 16, the command comes out of the temple directing the angels to go and pour out the bowls of the wrath of God. And the first angel pours out his bowl, and we're told about a foul, loathsome sore that comes upon everyone who had received the mark of the beast and worshiped his image. Listen, we all talk about choices that we make. And in the tribulation period, there's going to be a time when it just seems to make sense to receive the mark of the beast, because that's the only way you'll survive. But it's the wrong choice. There's only one way, and that's God's way. It's God's way that lasts in eternity. And here we see the loathsome sores that come upon men who have accepted the mark of the beast. The Greek indicates, and I tell you, it indicates a foul smelling abscess, painful abscess that's going to appear upon the skin, of which there are no remedies or no relief. That once it appears, it will just be constant, severe agony for people that have accepted the mark of the beast. I cannot imagine no end to pain. I mentioned this morning how big of a baby I am when it comes to sickness. I'm a bigger baby when it comes to pain. Okay? You know, I don't like it. Does that make sense? I hurt. It hurts. And I can't imagine being tormented with a boil that you can literally smell. But that's the first plague. The second plague, the second angel pours out his bowl of the wrath of God, and all the seas become blood. It says, like the blood of a dead man or a corpse. And what then happens is everything in the sea dies. And I can't imagine the shoreline as it's littered with the carcasses of fish and dolphins and whales and everything else that's in the sea. I can't imagine the smell. Now, not only do you have these putrefying sores, you have a sea that is literally blood. If you want to know, you know, Brother Doug, is it really blood? Yes, it's really blood. And it really kills every creature in the sea. You know, we take a lot of things for granted, don't we? Have you ever stood on the shore of the sea? Beth and I, a few years ago, we took a cruise, and something that I just loved to do was sit on the back of that ship and read a book, and every once in a while just look out over the blue sea and how beautiful it was and how relaxing it was. The picture changes here. It's just nasty blood. And all that men have enjoyed in God's creation relating to the ocean, they'll never enjoy again. Now the third angel pours out his bowl of the wrath of God. And not only do the oceans become blood, but the fresh water becomes blood. Is it literal? Yes, absolutely. The total supply of water in the earth is made to blood. Now, this is a horror movie to me. You know? Imagine, if you will, and you have to use your mind here. You have to be able to think about what it's saying. People will turn their tap water on, and guess what runs out? Blood. They'll go in to buy a bottle of Dasani water at the convenience store, and it's blood. They'll go to their refrigerator door where you put the glass in and get what? And blood. People will go out to the local lakes where they used to fish and play with the boats, and it's blood. And the reason God tells why He turns the fresh water into blood, it's because they have shed the blood of the saints and the prophets, and it is only right that now they drink blood since they were so bloodthirsty. You say, Brother Doug, that's just cruel. No, that's right. Verse 5 that we read in the text, the angel praises God for His righteous judgment. He said, "You are righteous, O Lord." If as we look at these scriptures, I want you to understand, you may think, "Well, I don't like that." Well, I want you to know it doesn't matter whether you like it. That's not the idea. Is God forewarning man of what lies ahead. And the angel here declares, God, You're righteous, which means, God, You are right in this judgment that You're pouring out. It's only just that they have shed the blood of saints, and now You have given them blood to drink. I remind you of the message this morning, that time of mercy and grace is over. The temple of heaven is now sealed off by the glory of God. There's no time for repentance. God's judgment is truly being poured out, one right after the other. And the fourth angel takes his bowl and he pours it out of the wrath of God. And it says, power is given to him to the Son to scorch man. God takes the beautiful, life-giving, warming sun and turns it into a giant heat lamp of tormenting fire. Do you remember last summer? I think the record high was 114 degrees. That was hot. Amen. I mean, most of last summer, I was, you know, as far as temperature goes, I was miserable. I was looking for one thing last summer. You know what that was? Air conditioner. You know? I can't imagine as God turns up the heat. And do you realize it only takes just a slight variation in the rotation of the axis, a degree, and things are thrust into chaos. Now, I want you to imagine where we are. There's no fresh water to drink. None. Zero. God has turned that into blood. So if you want to drink at this point in the tribulation period, as God pours out His wrath upon Christ rejecting man, all there is literal blood to drink. The thermostat of the sun is turned up. So, oh man, it's going to be thirsty. I remember the rice fields that I used to work in. We'd wade around out there in the rice field. And Brother Michael knows what I'm talking about. Man, you'd get out there, you'd be so thirsty. Water, rice water would be all around you, but it was stagnant. Of course, you wouldn't drink it until you got back to that well. And let me tell you something. There's nothing like rice well water after you've been shoveling levees for a little while. But here, the temperature's turned up. And if you want to drink, all there is blood. The temperature's turned up, and they're already in pain from the sores. But as the heat bears down on the sores, the torment becomes worse and worse. And I can't help but think of Romans 1:28. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which were not fitting. We've reached that point where rejection has gone so far that once again, as I said in the beginning, there's no hope for these Christ rejectors. The fifth angel pours out his vial upon the seed of the beast, and it says, all become darkness. Again, we started with the sores, the sea then turned to blood, the fresh water then turned to blood, the sun temperatures turned up and man is scorched in pain and torment. And now, God turns out the lights. And man chose to walk in darkness, spiritually speaking, and now God literally gives man darkness to walk in. Have you ever been in darkness so great that you can't see your hand in front of your face? That's what's being described here. Can you imagine being tormented by the pain of the sores and by the thirst, and then you can't even see what's going on with your own body? And so, what do? They gnaw their tongue in pain. I've gritted my teeth in pain before. I've never come to the point of gnawing my tongue in pain. And again, they blaspheme God and did not repent. Then the sixth angel pours out his vial, and the great river Euphrates is dried up, it says, to open the way for the kings and their armies to descend upon Palestine. This is, of course, preparing for that last great battle, or the last great battle of that time period, the battle that we know as the Battle of Armageddon, the Valley of Megiddo in Israel. That valley is 10 miles wide, 200 miles long, runs from the Mediterranean to the Jordan River. I've seen it. It's a beautiful valley, but it is a perfect place for a battle. You remember, I believe it was chapter 14, we read of how the blood will run in that valley to the horses' bridles. We're here. We're here as God is preparing the way for the kings of the east to descend upon Israel with the intent of wiping them off the face of the earth. And it says, demon spirits go out from the mouth of the beast and from the mouth of the false prophet. And these demon spirits, what they are just brainwashing spirits that go out to the kings of the world and gather them and talk them in to submitting themselves to the beast, the Antichrist, responding to his enticing lies and gathering themselves to battle against God's nation of Israel. And then we get to the seventh angel. The seventh angel, we hear a loud voice. It is done. Now this is not the same "it is done" as Jesus when he hung on the cross. He said, "It is finished." It's different. In the Greek, it literally means "be." Okay? We would say, that's the way it is. This is how it is. God, at the end of this, he tacks on an exclamation point saying, this is as sure can be. This is going to happen. And this seventh angel pours out his bowl. And the atmosphere, the air begins to convulse. Noises, thunderings, lightnings like we've never known. And then it descends down to the earth, and the earth begins to quiver and shake such as has never been known before. As a matter of fact, that's what it says. An earthquake like man has never known. It's an earthquake that will divide the city of Jerusalem into three parts, but that's the good part of the earthquake. The serious part of the earthquake is that it will be so worldwide that every city in the world will be destroyed. It will lie in ruin. Can you imagine an earthquake? I mean, we watched on TV today at the earthquakes, and we send aid here and there, different earthquakes. But, you know, when there's an earthquake in China, we don't feel it here, do we? But when this angel pours out the wrath of God on this last vial, this last bowl, the atmosphere begins to convulse, the earth begins to quake, and every city on the earth is destroyed. And it's such an earthquake that the mountains and the islands are moved out of their place. That's a big earthquake. That is a great shift of the continents. And then, at the end, God adds hailstones about the weight of a talent. Now, there's a lot of different opinions about this weight of a talent. The Egyptian, the Jewish talent, I think, for measuring silver was like 85 pounds. But for measuring other things, it was like 118 pounds. And for measuring some things, the Egyptian, I think, talent was 135 pounds. So there's a big difference there about how big these hailstones are going to be. But let's go with a conservative end. An 85-pound hailstone, where will you hide? Brother Doug, I'll go in the house. If you think a hailstone, an 85, 100-pound hailstone won't go through your house, you are sadly mistaken. I cannot, my friends, imagine the torment of the sores, the blood, the hailstones. And it says in the plague, and men blaspheme God because of the plague of hail, since the plague was exceedingly great. My friends, I've wondered, how do you preach that positively? When there is no good news left, when there is no hope. And here's all I know. I know that right now we live in the age of grace. And right now, Jesus Christ calls to all who've never received Him as their personal Savior, "Come unto Me, You who are weary and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. We read in the Bible such verses as John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Do you realize we're living in the greatest time that man could possibly ever live in? The age of grace. The age where Jesus says, come. I want you to know today, the things in the book of Revelation are real. And it, as Jesus revealed when He said, it's done, He said, be. It's going to happen. It's a certainty. But I want to tell you what else is real and what else is certain. The future of those who've placed their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. I'm a child of the King, and because I'm a child of the King, I'm going to live forever. I'm not a child of the King because of what I've done. I'm not a child of the King because I'm a preacher or because I'm a good guy. I'm a child of the King because I've cried out to Jesus and received forgiveness of my sin. Have you? The Bible tells us whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Have you ever called? And let me tell you, that's it. You can't work for it. You can't earn it. You have to ask for it and receive it. Oh, the substitutionary life of Jesus, the substitutionary death of Jesus is such a story of good news, you know? In that Jesus lived His life without sin. He did everything that you and I were supposed to do. You know that? See, that's what we mean when we say His substitutionary life. And then when it came to His death, He offers to us His righteousness and places His righteousness upon all those who call upon Him. And He takes our sin. He took our sin to the cross of Calvary and paid for us our punishment. So His substitutionary life is ours. His substitutionary death is ours. And beloved, He's not still in the grave. Because He arose, we too shall live. Now that's the good news. And if you're a child of God, oh, that should excite you. That should bring a smile to your face. But these chapters in Revelation, as I mentioned this morning, should also remind us there are people out there who don't know Jesus Christ. And it's our job to carry the Great Commission. Go ye therefore. Go. As you go, every day that you work, you're looking for that person who does not know Jesus. Every day that you live, going into Walmart, going out of another store, eating at restaurants, working with your co-workers, raising your family, everything that we do should be about taking everyone that we possibly can to heaven with us. Let us live that way. But tonight, I just have this one question. Are you a child of God? Have you called upon Jesus asking His salvation? If not, tonight's the night. Receive the good news while there's time. Because the opportunity will not always be. Our Father in heaven, we thank You for the day. Oh Lord, we thank You for Your precious word. And I pray that we'll take warning. Those of us who are saved, that we will take it very seriously, knowing that we are living in the day of grace, and it's our job, Lord, to influence and impress upon others the need of salvation. I pray for those in this service who've never called upon You for salvation. I pray that tonight will be the night. I pray that You'll just stir their heart, helping them to realize how much You love them. So much so that You gave Your life so that they could have eternal life. And I pray that tonight they'd step out on faith and call out to You. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.